I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about West Point. Is West Point infiltrated by Marxists and subversives? Is communism and socialism taking over America's leading military academy at West Point? Now, of course, this is a follow-up to a story that we did over all of the NFL controversy, where you had Colin Kaepernick, who refused to stand for the national anthem. Then it turns out Kaepernick is showing up at press conferences wearing his Malcolm X and Fidel Castro regalia, his t-shirt and his ball cap and this kind of thing, clearly promoting radical Islamic Marxism and some blend thereof, but really all pointing in the direction of communism, ultimately. That's where it's all headed. And so Kaepernick starts this NFL controversy. Then you've got all these other teams who are refusing to stand for the national anthem. And in the midst of all of this, a West Point graduate posts a photo of himself holding the fist, holding up one fist, which is a well-known communist symbol. You know, the fist raised in defiance against capitalism, and really raised in defiance against God and freedom, once you understand the history of communism and all that goes with it. It's defiance against God. It is, I believe, a very Luciferian, very satanic fist raised up in rebellion against God, especially when you study the history of Karl Marx, the early communist Marxist revolutionaries, and how one of their mottos was that our enemy is God, they said. Hatred against God is the beginning of wisdom. That's one of many mottos developed by the Marxists over the last 150 years. But it's very, very clear, rebellion against God and the idea of a government under God, the idea that rights come from God, etc., all of that is the hated enemy of communism and Marxism in every form. So you had this West Point graduate, he's holding up the communist fist and he raises his cap, and underneath his cap, he has the words written, "Communism will win." And this was all done in support of Colin Kaepernick and these protests, etc. Really protests against America and all that America has stood for historically. Well, now we've been sent by one of our listeners a story that's just come out. And this is a story posted on the Daily Caller. And this is a follow-up. The headline says, quote, "Colonel who reported communist cadet slams West Point leadership." The headline, or the lead paragraph, says, quote, "Retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Robert Heffington issued an open letter to West Point graduates earlier this week, blasting the superintendent, commandant, and dean of the military academy for contributing to a culture of permissiveness. The letter was subsequently posted on the website of American Military News." Now, you read this letter that was sent in by Colonel Heffington, and it is very, very clear that West Point, the military academy at West Point, has been infiltrated and compromised by Marxists, by radical leftists who have brought in the whole anti-American agenda. And they are, one, they're doing two things. They're dumbing down the West Point cadets so that you have a lower class of West Point graduate, one dumbing them down by lowering the academic standards, which we'll talk about, and two, instilling within them an enmity or a hatred of America, instilling within them through brainwashing, indoctrination in their classes and so on, this anti-American worldview. The situation, as our listener said to me in an email, the situation appears to be even worse than what we had thought before. What I thought, anyway. I thought, okay, they're bringing in some communists here or people who have these radically leftist ideas. But now it appears that the whole system there has been infected with this Marxist ideology. I really hope and pray that President Trump will confront this situation, because this is a matter of national security. Because those who graduate from West Point, you do some research on West Point. West Point graduates, upon graduation, are commissioned as second lieutenants in the Army right off the bat. As soon as they graduate, they're second lieutenants in the U.S. Army and serve for 5 years on active duty. That's what they have to agree to. And then if after 5 years, if they want to get out of the Army, then they serve 3 years in the inactive ready reserve. So as soon as they graduate, they are leaders in the U.S. Army, in the military. And I can just tell you, coming from a military family, my dad was not a West Point graduate. He was a chief warrant officer. We knew a lot of the officer corps. Of course, this was back in the 1970s and 80s. And it was a very, very different environment. But I lived on military bases in this country and overseas until I was about 15 years old. So I grew up around the military. Your West Point grads, those are the guys who typically are going to be there in the military. They're like your Harvard graduates out in the working world. They are considered among the best, you know, or really the best. You know, they're going to be the guys who make rank. They're going to be your higher ranking officers. They're going to get, I mean, you just go look at the whole list of U.S. Military Academy graduates from West Point. You've got people like General George Patton, General Douglas MacArthur. This is a tradition that goes back more than 100 years, goes back into the 19th century. The West Point Academy was established. Well, it was founded in 1802 and is the oldest of the United States five service academies. Founded in 1802. But you've had two American presidents, one Dwight Eisenhower, the other Ulysses S. Grant, two presidents that came out of West Point, and many, many military figures right up into modern times. But yeah, generals like we said MacArthur, Patton, and Eisenhower all came out of West Point. Then you have more modern generals, Norman Schwarzkopf, Stormin Norman, as he was called. He came out of West Point. General Petraeus, a lot of controversy around Petraeus, but nevertheless, another West Point graduate. General McMaster, H.R. McMaster, who is currently serving in the Trump administration. Breitbart, the Breitbart journalists are very suspicious of McMaster. They think he is sympathetic toward Islam, but nevertheless, he is another West Point graduate. I found it interesting, if you look up the West Point Military Academy, Wikipedia has a very extensive article on it, and down toward the bottom, they list as prominent dropouts. Two of the prominent dropouts from West Point were, one, Edgar Allan Poe in the 19th century, and then in the 20th century, Timothy Leary, of all people. Timothy Leary, who was the counterculture icon, a supporter of LSD. And if, for those of you who have seen Pastor Joe Schimmel's documentary, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, he talks extensively about Timothy Leary as a follower of Aleister Crowley, the Satanist Aleister Crowley. But Timothy Leary was apparently a West Point dropout. Interesting. But aside from Poe and Leary, there is a very strong, very patriotic, very pro-America tradition that comes out of West Point. By the way, there's many other figures besides who have graduated from West Point who are very notable historic figures. They become leaders politically, in society, they become part of presidential cabinets. They get involved in politics. They become part of the movers and shakers in society. And obviously, as soon as they graduate, they have authority in the U.S. military because they're the officer corps. Okay? So this, it's not a small issue that they've gone after the military and now are brainwashing the future leaders of our military personnel. This is very, very disturbing. It is, as one critic has put it, it's a matter of national security that people are being brainwashed as communists and anti-Americans in our leading military academy. This is not a small issue. This is the kind of thing where if it happens, if it continues, if nothing is done, this could eventually lead to a full-blown civil war and the overthrow of our country. Because if our enemies are being educated, we're letting these people go into our military academies, and we're just talking about West Point. Who knows if they've also infected the other military academies? You see, when a coup happens in certain countries, every now and again we'll see in the news, a coup takes place. Often the military is used to carry out the coup. The military generals will conspire and they go in and they overthrow a leader. They have them, they bring in the tanks and whatever. They get the soldiers to come in. They surround the capital, wherever it is. They arrest whoever the leader is and he's taken into custody and then the military takes over. So the idea that a military coup could well be in the planning, in kind of a long-term planning, that is what appears to be manifesting itself here based on what we're seeing going on at West Point. That's what I think there's no question that's what they're doing. And I think they have a problem. The problem that the left has had is that the military historically is notoriously patriotic and loyal to our Constitution, to our flag, to our country. And so they've recognized they've got to go in and undermine the military. Because if they don't, I think this has to do with why they allowed homosexuality in the military, why they wanted to flood the military with transgenders and then have the military pay for all the transgender surgery and everything to effeminize our military personnel and to weaken them. And we're going to go over the rest of this article here when we come back from the break. And you're going to see, based upon the testimonies given by this lieutenant colonel, based upon his testimony, it seems clear that they are deliberately dumbing down these cadets and people who really should not be in West Point at all. They're not qualified. They don't have the academic skills to be operating at that level. And yet they're keeping them there deliberately and getting them through the program so that they're going to graduate. They're going to be your second lieutenants, your captains, etc. They're going to be your West Point graduates in the next generation, and they're simply not qualified. They're not operating at a level anywhere close to a George Patton, a Douglas MacArthur, an Eisenhower, nothing even close to that. They're being taught all of this anti-American propaganda. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We'll talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We've been going over this situation at West Point, the West Point Military Academy, where they are training the next generation of military officers for the U.S. Army in particular. And I've got an article here on the Huffington Post. Of course, the Huffington Post is a notoriously leftist publication online, but there is an article from 2012 written by a writer named Blake Page, who was apparently on the brink of graduating from West Point. And this is 2012 now, so 5 years ago, roughly 5 years ago. He writes this article, and the headline is, quote, "Why I Don't Want to Be a West Point Graduate." That's what he said. And here's what he says in his article. He says, quote, "The title West Point graduate carries a great deal of weight in this world. Those who earn it are given a golden ticket and wear a ring of power, which will certainly carry them to successful careers with doors flung open in the military, in business, even in personal relationships, as so many are seduced by the historic prestige of the United States Military Academy. All of these things seem enticing, but for me personally, they are not worth it. As I write this, I am 5 months from graduation. After nearly 3.5 years here, there is no reason to suspect that I would be in any way incapable of completing the final requirements, etc." He says, quote, "Choosing to resign at this point also carries a significant risk." Then he talks about that he's, that the Army may seek to recoup his tuition and so on because he doesn't finish. And then he says, "What could possibly compel me to pass over this incredible opportunity?" Then he goes on, and of course, he's a liberal writer, and he says that, quote, "The tipping point of my decision to resign was the realization that countless officers here and throughout the military are guilty of blatantly violating the oaths they swore to defend the Constitution." He says, "These men and women are criminals, complicit in light of day, defiance of the Uniform Code of Military Justice." Remember, this is a left-wing perspective. So he's accusing them now of being criminals. He calls them criminals, and they are guilty of defying the Uniform Code of Military Justice, etc. Why? Because, he says, they encourage and even at times require sectarian religious participation. He says, quote, "These transgressions are nearly always committed in the name of fundamentalist evangelical Christianity. The sparse leaders who object to these egregious violations are related to the position of silent bystanders because they understand all too well the potential ramifications of publicly expressing their loyalty to the laws of our country. And then he goes on to complain about the Christian character of West Point, which of course has been the general character of West Point throughout its history. And he offers an excerpt from his official letter of resignation to West Point, talking about how he is against the policies of mandatory prayer, that they have mandatory prayer there, the maintenance of the 3rd Regiment shield, which is one of the icons there that has all this Christian symbolism in it. And you can go read about the 3rd Regiment's shield and the symbolism, and Huffington Post has another article on that where they completely denounce it as a Christian symbol, that it's a whole symbol of Christianity and it doesn't include everyone, and oh, that's just so horrible that they don't include everyone. And of course, what he's talking about when he's saying that they're guilty of so-called criminal behavior, the alleged crime they're guilty of is violating the First Amendment. So they say. And what does the First Amendment say? The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. That's the whole argument. Yeah, Congress shall make no law. I'm just going to read it here. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, what's happened is, since the end of World War II, the original understanding of the First Amendment, as explained by Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story, was simply to prevent any particular denomination of Christianity from seizing control of the national government. And Story says this. And he says that it was not intended in any way to make Christianity equal to Mohammedism or Buddhism or infidelity, other religions, that it was understood that Christianity is still the law of the land. Okay, it's the religion of the country, and that the American people would not have accepted at the time of the Revolution the idea of leveling all religions and making them all co-equal. This is very important, brethren, because the way the wording is written today and how it's understood in a very different way post-World War II than it was originally. And so this is why this guy, this left-winger, who apparently resigned from graduating from West Point, why he's calling the Christian teachers there criminals who are supposedly violating the law. And they're not upholding the military code. Well, if they're criminals, then virtually everybody from 1802 right up into modern times was allegedly a criminal. And then the founders themselves all become criminals because they were complicit, even after they wrote the Constitution, even after they ratified the First Amendment, they continued to have prayer and the Bible in the public school systems. And so they were all part of this collective crime together. That's what you have to believe the left-wing interpretation of our Constitution today, because their interpretation today is completely foreign to the historic American worldview. But see, this is the problem that they've had with the military. The problem that they've had with the military is our military, going back to the time of the Revolution, even before, has a very strong tradition that was originally rooted and grounded in the Reformation, in the Puritan and the Pilgrim movement, back to Oliver Cromwell. In fact, one of our famous battleships, Cromwell, was known as Old Ironsides, and his Puritan warriors were called the Ironsides. And then you have the USS Constitution, it was called, which was a very famous battleship in 19th century America, and it was undefeated. It had been in many battles, never lost a battle, and they called it Old Ironsides, and it was named after Cromwell and his Puritans. But it shows the connection, the historic connection between, you know, how our early American warriors and soldiers and so on, how they viewed themselves. I've even talked about in the program before, you had a Harvard author back in the 19th century. He's got a book on sermons of the American Revolution, and he says in the introduction that the fathers of the revolution saw themselves as the successors or followers of Cromwell, or they saw themselves like Cromwell and the Puritans, going into battle, singing psalms, trusting in God, and they were Christian warriors. Now, this doesn't mean that we would agree with all of their theological views. It doesn't mean that at all. What it does mean is that they saw themselves as Christian warriors, warriors of virtue and honor. That was how they saw themselves. Today, however, that is being trampled on and pushed out. And it's very, very clear. I thought I was going to have more time to go over this, but it's very, very clear that the left has infiltrated at least West Point, and I suspect the other military academies as well, and they are now trying to turn our military against our country. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's going to have to do it for us today. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.